Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into today's episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. I am here today with my guest, Lauren Howe of The Social Block, and today we are discussing social media burnout. Lauren is the founder of The Social Block, a communications agency based in Los Angeles. The Social Block provides social media, digital marketing, and PR services. And Lauren has been featured in publications like 360 Magazine and The San Diego Voyager. Thanks so much for joining us today, Lauren.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
That's awesome. So let's delve into a couple of questions so that we can get to know you a little bit. So What would you say motivates or inspires you?
I would say that I'm motivated and inspired by people coming together for common issues or common causes and solving problems. So whether that's like volunteer groups that people do on the weekends, I think that's really inspiring. Or just, you know, The Social Block to me, I have, you know, a lot of my own personal inspiration behind it or things that I want to do to make a difference with The Social Block. So I think that kind of the causes, the reasons behind what you do, I think are what inspires me.
I love that. So true. And how did you get into digital marketing?
So I actually originally started in public relations. I moved out to Los Angeles 3 years ago to get a job in public relations, but noticed right away that a lot of our clients needed social media and needed marketing programs. And so I talked to the owner of the agency that I was working at this point and asked her if I could start offering it to clients, because I was like, I know I can figure it out if you just give me a chance to try it. So she was like, take it and run with it. And by the time that I left the agency, I was the digital marketing director for the agency. Over half of the clients were doing the program. I had trained people in. So it actually was like the shift in my PR job that I kind of turned to social media and digital marketing, which was really fun. So after I left that job, that's when I started The Social Block. But it really was that first job, I think, that I just saw such a need for it and realized people think they need maybe PR, but they really need this instead. They need this to help with their digital presence. So that's definitely how I got started with it.
Okay, awesome. And then, so how long did it take for you to start The Social Block?
So I started The Social Block. That was something that I initially started freelancing out of, which is kind of the name that I housed it under. But then over the pandemic, I started putting a lot more effort into it and reaching out to businesses and kind of sharing with them what we had to offer or what our suggestions were to them. And that's because over the pandemic, a lot of small businesses had to shut down, small businesses and nonprofits. And that, you know, that was really difficult on them. But I think a lot of people maybe don't consider that part of the reason for that is that they don't have access to affordable marketing and social media programs. So they can't compete with, you know, all of these businesses that are larger and already have like a really robust online presence. So once everything shut down, they basically were left with no ways to communicate with their target audience anymore because they relied on foot traffic. So yes. Once the pandemic hit, we really saw the need for it. So we decided to kind of specialize in working with small businesses and nonprofits because that's where a lot of our clients were anyway. So we were really hearing that firsthand. And yeah, clients just kept coming. So then I think at that point it became really real to me. And it just has grown, very rapidly since the pandemic hit.
Gotcha. And then how do you guys differentiate yourselves from other agencies?
Yeah, so I think transparency is a big one. I think a lot of, and I don't want to say this is a blanket statement either, because I think there are a lot of, you know, wonderful agencies out there, but there are also a lot of them that I think the reporting could probably be a little bit more transparent. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes people don't, if you report on a specific number, it might seem like there's a lot of value there, but there might not actually be. So explaining why you're reporting what you're reporting, where they're going to see that value at the end of the day. So kind of like educating them on what you're sharing with them, I think is a way that we differentiate ourselves. And then, yeah, just being transparent in all ways, whether it's the reporting, whether it's the processes that we're going through, why we charge, what we charge, like what do these fees cover, what does it go into, all of that is really important to us. And then I think the other thing is just that we specialize in small businesses and nonprofits. So we're really, really familiar with that landscape. And we know that those clients oftentimes want to be able to do it in-house, but maybe don't have the tools to learn it at that time. So we kind of take an approach where it's half education and then half providing the services. We don't want a client to feel stuck ever. So if they ever wanted to take it back in house, we want to also teach them the skills to take it back in house so that it'll be sustainable for them. And which I think is different. I think a lot of other agencies, obviously they want you there long term, but we really want to build them up so that they can do it if they want to do it on their own, which okay. I think is a little bit different.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Awesome. So let's delve into our topic now. So today we're going to be talking about social media burnout and just burnout in general. You know, it's something a lot of professionals deal with. So for anyone listening, who may not be familiar, what is social media burnout?
Yeah, so burnout is a state of emotion, it would be emotional, mental, or physical exhaustion that's brought about by being in prolonged stress. So that can be, you know, a lot of times from a job because you're there for a prolonged amount of time. Eventually you get burned out with that. So social media burnout then more specifically is just a form of online fatigue. So that's really because you've spent so much time on social media that, you kind of get burnt out after a while from being, you know, seeing the same content or having the same messages kind of thrown at you, over and over again. But it's definitely applicable to, I would say, like all fields, it's definitely applicable, and burnout is really serious. So I would just say to anybody that is listening, if you feel like you're getting burnt out, take it seriously and, you know, listen to yourself because, you deserve to have rest and feel energized about what you're doing, whether it's social media or something else.
Absolutely. And we were talking a little bit before we started recording that it's a big thing. It's so common within digital marketers because you are on social media managing it for your clients all day. And then it's something that you're supposed to be doing in your relaxed time. That's what people do when they're off work, they're on social media scrolling, and it just gets to be too much and really causes that burnout.
Yes, definitely. I think so going off of that, it's really interesting because even, you know, I think a lot of people could say, well, just don't go on social media in the evening. Like maybe you go do that for your job during the day, but then you decide not to have your own profiles or something like that. Mm-hmm. But it's actually, you know, quite a bit harder, I think, than that or more complicated than that, especially even new jobs that, you know, people are listing, they actually require you to link your own social media to it, because if you're going to be a social media marketer, they want to see that you're actually passionate about it and you're actually doing it on your own account. So a lot of job applications, like you're actually linking it. So it's also, that would be like telling somebody not to develop almost like a portfolio if that's the interest that, or the industry that you're trying to go into, I should say. So I think that it's not always as easy as it looks on the face. And yeah, exactly. When you're doing it all day for work and then you come home in the evenings and you're still managing your personal reputation, I think it definitely builds on itself.
Absolutely. And have you experienced burnout before?
I would say that I have experienced degrees of burnout. I definitely haven't, because I think that there are stages to it. And I think that's definitely important to note too. So I've definitely experienced stages of burnout. Yeah. With social media. And I think that's happened because I run the Social Blocks social media. I run the majority of our clients' social media. And then I personally have my own Instagram, which has, a fair amount of followers as well that I also run. And all of those to me count as work. And so that's all just during my day. So I think, so I definitely think it's been important to me to find other ways to express my creativity, because that's really what doing social media in my free time is. So I've tried to take up, you know, other hobbies or things that don't involve involve social media or really optimize my time during the day, during work hours, to get everything done so that I can still have my evening and have that break period at the end of the day.
What are those warning signs that you get when you're approaching burnout?
Yeah, so warning signs for burnout, they're very similar to like mild depression symptoms, actually. But feeling, you know, easily irritated, getting frustrated easily, or feeling like you're overwhelmed, I think are really good indicators. If you feel overwhelmed, that means that you are overwhelmed. So, you know, it's important to pay attention to those feelings. But otherwise, the other symptoms would be, you know, maybe you're really passionate about your job, but you just don't have any motivation to work on it anymore.
Yes.
Or maybe you still have, you know, good ideas that you had in the past that you could execute on, but you don't have the motivation to complete those, or you're struggling with creativity for new ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if you're losing sleep, thinking about work specifically, if we're talking about work burnout, if you're losing sleep because of thinking about work, or if it is, you know, a social media based job, you're checking social media. I know that's something that, you know, people can fall into as a trap when they work in social media, is like, you're basically getting live. It's like checking your work email. You know, everyone probably wakes up in the middle of the night and checks their work email quick. With social media, it's like you're checking your work email. You're also scrolling and refreshing and seeing what happened, because everything is so real time. So I think that, yeah, people can definitely fall into that trap as well. So if you're losing sleep, that's definitely, you're reaching burnout. Yeah, emotionally fatigued. If you just feel like you can't, you know, maybe feel as compassionate as you used to, or I think that goes kind of hand in hand with feeling more frustrated. But if you feel like you used, like, oh man, a couple weeks ago, I was really compassionate and I was really able to empathize with my friends and, like, you know, support people that were around me, and now I just feel like I barely have enough for myself, that's definitely a sign of burnout, and it, you know, your resources are kind of running low. So I think all of those things are things to pay attention to and, you know, look into them and see like what you can change to actually navigate that, because burnout isn't something that goes away on its own. And I think that's important to share as well. Like,
yeah.
You can't keep. So I think a lot of people are like, oh, I'm just in a slump and I'll just try to power through. But that's not how burnout works. You kind of have to take a break after that. So I think it's important to, once you recognize it for what it is and give yourself that rest.
Okay. So is there anything else you'd recommend to proactively avoid burnout? I guess like rest is like the main one. Or do you have any other tips?
Yeah. So definitely. I mean, I think work-life boundaries are the main thing. So this can be difficult because, you know, everyone's budget looks different. Everyone's career path looks different. If you work an hourly job, you might need to work, you know, more hours to be able to, you know, meet your needs. So there might be a minimum that you have to work, but I think taking the breaks where you can, if your job gives you paid vacation time, you know, take that vacation time and rest during those vacations. Don't work on those vacations. I see a lot of people not taking their breaks, I think, especially during COVID, because people weren't traveling as much, but then, you know, there was a lot of job insecurity. And so people weren't taking their vacation time at all during COVID. And so definitely take that time if you have it and use that for yourself, I think is a great way to combat it. And then still kind of staying on the same vein of boundaries, when you're home or when work ends, whether that's 5:30 or 6 or whenever that is for you, then be done with work. So try to commit to not checking your work email until after you've gotten up and had your coffee and brushed your teeth in the morning, till the end of work. Like, once you shut down and, you know, disconnect and focus on what's actually important to you in the evenings. So I think, yeah, definitely having strong boundaries is really important to doing that. And then also just making sure that if you are seeing the stress coming from your career, making sure that your hobbies don't directly correlate with that, like try to give yourself a little bit more of a break. So if you're in, say you're a nurse and your a hobby on the weekends is you go volunteer your time and it's another, you know, caregiving type task, maybe it means that you need to take a little break from that portion. Or if you're in social media, maybe it means you need to take a break from, you know, your own personal Instagram for a couple of weeks, or say I'm going to actually limit it to 30 minutes a day instead of 2 hours a night. But making sure that you're placing limits on work-related things, I think, is important.
Absolutely.
And I will say a note with working just with media in general, is that I think the things that can also increase the burnout, and you can probably relate to this with doing podcasts, but once you start working in a certain industry, it can be hard not to listen for things you want to replicate when you're consuming the same content. So like if you were listening to podcasts, you might be like, wow, I really love the way that they did that intro, or, oh, I really like how they just asked that question, or how they formatted that. It would be hard to not analyze it almost. And I think it's the same way with social media or marketing or whatever. When you're watching TV and you're seeing an advertisement, are you able to just enjoy the experience, or are you analyzing that ad and the messaging behind it? Are you 100%. Actually scrolling? Are you scrolling social media? Is that really relaxing for you? Or are you looking at everyone's content and like saving ideas for work for the next day? So I think it's important. Yeah. So just kind of understanding like what does correlate to my job, and is that actually relaxing, or is this like kind of passive research for me in a certain way?
Exactly. Yeah. I like back in the day, I went to school for advertising, and it was like first week, my professor was like, just a warning, like every time you pass a billboard, every time you watch a commercial, you will just analyze it and forever for the rest of your life. And it's so true. Like everything that you see, you're like, okay, I would do that differently, or I like this. And yeah, you just completely pick it apart in your mind.
Yeah. And it's, and I think in a certain way, it's like, it is, it can be useful to some degree, but sometimes I maybe convince myself it's, you know, more useful than it is. So it's, I think definitely setting the boundaries there, because you're totally right. Like it's, you do look at it differently forever after that.
I know. It's so funny. So can you talk about the importance of delegating tasks as a way to prevent burnout?
Yeah. So I think delegating tasks is super important if you have a task load that's, you know, too, I would say, I don't want to say too large, but if you have a task load that is making you feel any of these ways, you know, you're reaching your limit. And so being able to delegate the extra so that you don't reach a point of burnout is really important. And I would just say my main tip with this is figure out where the burnout is coming from. Maybe if the majority of your job is social media, then maybe it's coming from social media. But if the majority of your job is actually the marketing portion, maybe that's the part you want to delegate. But I would say whatever is causing you the most stress, or whatever there's the most of on your plate, that's the piece that I would take away or delegate that. Because, you know, nobody is running an agency on their own. Nobody is completely, you know, doing anything in a void. So I think it's really important to reach out and let people know what you need help with, especially if you have hired help. Even getting an intern can be really helpful just to take some of the little things off your plate, or getting a personal assistant to check your email, I think can also just be very helpful. Some of the more menial tasks, you know, just not having to do those or think about those anymore can actually clear a lot more space than you think that it would.
Yeah, absolutely. So do you work proactively with your team to ensure they don't experience burnout?
Yeah. So we actually, whenever somebody gets onboarded, we talk about it. And then we also have all new employees go through a special social media training, since we offer so much of that. And as part of that, we talk about boundaries with social media and boundaries after work. And I directly tell my employees, like, if I ever have to text you at night, or I'm ever texting you late, like, do not respond. I'm not expecting you to respond when you're off the clock. Like, I think there are sometimes, you know, you have a good idea and you want to shoot somebody a text in the moment, and I think that's fine. But I always let them know, like, this is not, you do not need to be responding to me at 10 o'clock at night, because that's a boundary, right? So I think talking about expectations and boundaries up front is important to me with social media, because everything is so, it's all real time and real time reactions. So a lot of employers can unfortunately treat social media, you know, people like they're kind of 24/7 people, because social media is 24/7. So I just want to make sure that the people that I work with, my employees, my interns, know that there is a shutoff time, and whatever, you know, is happening at 10 o'clock at night, we can still address in the morning. So just, making sure that boundaries are talked about up front, I think, is the way that we proactively, you know, avoid it.
Okay, perfect. And then, so from your experience of experiencing burnout, are there any lessons you've learned?
Yeah, I think it just goes back to boundaries. So definitely I've learned to put boundaries on my own time. And then also, like I mentioned earlier, I kind of switched some of my hobbies. So I stopped investing so much time to some of these projects that were more digitally based. I kind of abandoned those for a while and went to like trying to teach myself to play the guitar or going on more hikes, or, you know, I love yes. spending time with my dogs. So taking my dogs on more walks. So kind of stuff like that. Or like I taught myself to crochet, right? So just things that have nothing to do with social media at all. I think that was really important to me to be like, okay, I'm a person outside of this and kind of build up these other interests and invest time in that. Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, that definitely helped me avoid it and come back from burnout. And I would also say, like, I took a vacation too. Like when I realized that I could no longer be excited about going to work, I was like, I need a break, because I really value being able to show up and do my best job. And if I'm not passionate about it, I'm not doing my best job. I'm not energized about it. So I took, you know, some of my vacation days, I did a little long weekend and was able to kind of come back. And you know, I don't think that you can fix anything on a long weekend, but you can definitely kind of take the edge off and start taking steps towards the right way, or come up with kind of a game plan of how you want to address it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then just going back to, you said like you go on hikes sometimes. I think like being in nature and getting exercise is like two of like the most effective ways to combat burnout.
Definitely go get some sunlight.
Yeah. It's pretty powerful. I know, like even as like a preventative measure, you know, like maybe I'm not feeling burnt out, but I'm just like tired and have like that afternoon slump. And I know like just like getting outside, getting fresh air, getting exercise, like it makes a world of difference.
Yeah, definitely. And you're totally right. Just the contrast of like being in front of a screen and then being outside surrounded by nature, you have the sunlight, you know, experiencing nature, I think is really, really important combating it. And they also say, I mean, a lot of these symptoms, so they are similar to, you know, mild depression symptoms. And we know that nature helps with those symptoms as well. So if there is any crossover for you, I think it'll just help that much more.
Yeah, definitely. So where do you see the social block in 5 years' time?
So, I mean, I hope that the social block keeps growing it just keeps growing, I guess. But what I mainly want to do in 5 years is just that I would like small businesses to feel like they have just better access to marketing programs and social media. So I don't know what that needs to look like necessarily, but probably just create, you know, boosting our visibility, continuing to provide great services. I think, you know, we're already pretty well known around our local area, but expanding beyond that, because there's a lot of small businesses outside of LA that also need help. So I think probably, yeah, just kind of expanding geographically is really important.
That's awesome.
But I don't have necessarily like any specific goals as far as like how many clients we want to have or anything like that, because I think right now we're really focused on we want to provide value. And so, yeah, really defining our programs and making sure that they're really valuable, which I believe that they have been. So just kind of continuing in that direction.
Gotcha. Well, we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are five rapid fire questions. Okay. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
So I just read the book Educated by Tara Westover, and it just was a really excellent book. I recommend it to everybody. But it's about a girl who basically had to take her education into her own hands, and she went and did a lot of cool things about it and had a lot of realizations about her upbringing. Just very inspiring and very interesting.
That's cool. And what does your morning routine look like?
Oh, I have the longest morning routine because I'm definitely a morning person. So I get up pretty early. So I get up around like 5:30 every morning, and then I just usually make coffee and I kind of journal throughout the day. But it's more like productive journaling, where I'm kind of, you know, setting goals for the day or things that I want to manifest or whatever, however I want my day to go.
Yeah.
And then make breakfast. I juice every morning, like fresh vegetables and fruits. So kind of do that, but that's probably my morning routine. I take a lot of time for myself in the morning to get set up before I dive into work.
That's awesome. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
I wouldn't say there's a CEO, but there's a lot of people who run social media that, like, on Instagram that I follow that create a lot of videos talking about their experiences. So I would say I probably follow more creators, which is maybe a different thing for this space. But yeah, I follow creators who are doing the kind of work that I would love to do. Like, they're producing the kind of work that I really admire.
Gotcha. Okay. What is your favorite online tool?
Oh, that's so broad.
there's a lot of them.
Yes, there's a lot of online tools. I would say probably scheduling apps, because if I had to go manually post like 30 posts a day, I think I would go crazy. So probably like the Hootsuites or later.coms of the world. Those are my favorite programs.
Makes sense. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
Ooh. I think, yeah, one thing that I wish I had known is just that, yeah, like, it's okay to try new things. I think when I first started with social media, I was scared to do anything that was going to be, like, crazy or maybe rock the boat a little bit, but now I've realized that's what makes some of the best social media content, so probably just be brave and, like, try the new things and try new content for clients and, you know, see how it goes, because I think that's been some of our biggest success stories, so.
Be brave. I love it.
Be brave.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Lauren. It's been really great chatting with you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It was wonderful to meet you.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.